Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. While co-working space struggles in other parts of the country, it thrives in South Florida and across our state. In this conversation, South Florida Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Mel Melendez gets the latest from Laura Kozaluzic, CEO of Quest Workspaces.
Welcome, Laura. Thanks so much for joining us on this segment of Florida Business Minds.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, you're the CEO of Quest Workspaces, one of the most popular co-working companies in South Florida. And you were also one of our South Florida Ultimate CEOs this past year. And a lot of that was due to your successful track record in business. So I thought I'd have you on the show to learn a little bit about how you entered the co-working arena and where you see the industry headed. Now, you founded Quest Workspaces in 2010, but I know that before that, you launched Synergy Workplaces, which grew to more than 24 locations nationwide. So tell me, what led you to enter the co-working space?
I was involved in co-working and working in the industry before it was even called co-working and before it was the industry that we know today. I actually started working in the space in 1991. For a group out of New York City. It was just a few locations, and then we kept growing in size and growing in size to the point where it became the nation's largest, I'll call it shared workspace provider, because co-working wasn't even a term used then. It's been an industry that I've been involved in for 35 years, and prior to that, I was in the hospitality industry. So the two were very synergistic, which is where the Synergy Workspace name actually came from. So it's been something that has been in my blood for many, many decades, and I've evolved with the industry, I guess you could say.
I also know that Quest Workspaces was self-funded. Now, why did you opt to go that route versus seeking outside funding for the enterprise?
It's a funny story, because when I decided to start Quest Workspaces, I had, I guess you would call it a mastermind group that I pulled together, people that I respected quite a bit, and shared my vision with them, and people with financial backgrounds, legal backgrounds. And they all said I'd be crazy to try to start this thing on my own, because it does require a lot of capital. And for me, working in the industry in several different capacities, I worked for a group that was doing consolidations. We're doing quite a few mergers. I've been on both sides of the acquisition cycle. I've seen what happens as you raise outside funds. You don't necessarily control the outcome of the company. It's a different animal. And for me, for Quest Workspaces at that time, it was my journey, quite frankly, where I felt like I had gotten to the point in my career where I didn't care if I'd open one co-working space or a dozen co-working spaces. I wanted it to be my vision, my dream, and I wanted to run the company as I chose to run it. And I didn't want to be subject to investors that wanted to take the company in different directions. And I'd been through that before previously. This time around, it was like Frank Sinatra. I wanted to do it my way.
Well, you've had great success. So that was obviously the right decision. Now, a lot has been written about how COVID-19 led to the closings of many co-working spaces as more people worked from home due to containment. But because Florida opened up for business relatively early, and many people flocked here to work remotely, the demand for co-working spaces actually exploded here. Now, did that surprise you? And were you ready?
I wish I could say that I had the foresight and vision to predict the pandemic, and I knew that everyone was going to decide to move out of New York City and move to Florida. That was always my plan. But then everything, I think, with the pandemic, it just fueled that migration even quicker. The reason that we focused on South Florida was, in order for me to self-fund the business, it was a lot easier for me to put deals together in 2010 through 2019 in the Florida market versus the New York City market. So for me, it was very conducive for the way I wanted to grow my business. And we had established a great reputation early on with our landlords, with our clients, and deals kept coming to us through that 9-year period. I was very happy focused on South Florida and New York City. At the time, we also had two locations in New York City. And I love those two markets. And I have to say, though, Mel, our industry makes sense in every market. And it's not as though one market is so much better than the others. It ebbs and flows based on different micro dynamics that are going on in each individual city or suburban market. So Florida was always a good market. I think what happened post-COVID is that when so many remote workers went back to work at home, and office vacancy was on the rise. What we saw in South Florida is that that was offset by the migration of additional people coming to South Florida. So things have kind of leveled out at this point. And the cities like New York City, for example, and the larger cities, they're going to start to stabilize as well. I think it was just a period of time they were going through. And I think the one thing that's most important is that we're going to see consistent sort of flexibility and companies figuring out what they need because of remote work. And that's going to continue. And, you know, it hasn't really settled out yet. So we're going to see spikes and troughs in every single market. But I was always very happy to be in Florida, and I continue to be very happy that we're, you know, we've made South Florida really our focus for Quest Workspaces.
Now, various studies show more companies are going to continue to bring their workers back to the office, either full-time or at least hybrid. Do you think that's going to impact the demand for co-working spaces moving forward or not?
Absolutely. And I think it's going to affect it in a positive way, because I think the need for flexibility is just going to become more important. We were seeing even pre-COVID that if a company that was growing and changing and adapting, if they could sign a one-year agreement versus a 10-year lease, in order to stay agile and be dynamic, the company's going to choose a one-year agreement over a 10-year lease. I mean, it's virtually impossible to predict where your business is going to be in 10 years based on how quickly things are moving now. So even prior to COVID, we were seeing the major enabler for co-working spaces, in my opinion, was flexibility. You know, as companies being able to get flexibility. And also, too, the other piece of it is that, you know, small companies, solopreneurs, startups, entrepreneurs, they're able to get access to the same services and support that major global companies can. So those two things have always been, I believe, the need that we've been serving. Well, then throw COVID into the mix, right? And everyone's trying to figure out, where are people working? How many desks do we need? Is that going to change? In order to recruit people, do we have to offer remote positions? Is it going to be a hybrid where they're coming in 2 days a week? Or, hey, maybe that's not going to work. And what you're right. You're absolutely right. With all the data is showing right now is that when people are just fully remote and companies are trying to run fully remote, it's not effective. And for all the obvious reasons. So what we're finding is that so many companies now are working that out. They're figuring it out. And what co-working does is it gives them a really good platform to figure that out with, right? Without committing long-term and really being able to be super agile and change as needed. And everyone asked me that question. They said, well, do you think it's going to go back to what it is? And I said, gosh, you know, do you think we're going to go back to, you know, the dial phones versus cell phone? No, of course not. This is a more efficient way to run your business. So we're not going to go back. It's only going to get accelerated.
Laura Kozaluzic joining us. Next, the future of co-working as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
I recently read a Forbes article on how co-working is evolving, as you just mentioned, and that a lot of those models now look like Airbnbs, where co-working companies book homes, you know, as co-working spaces and meetings. And I wasn't even aware that was a thing. It sounded so odd to me.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how do you see the co-working industry changing, if at all?
So,
and what do you
see
the upcoming trends?
With all this interesting stuff that you're seeing, Mel, and you're reading about, like, you know, co-working setup. It could be co-working on yachts. It could be co-working in resorts, co-working in apartment buildings in Costa Rica, like you name it, for digital nomads. It is going to continue because the term co-working just means people working together from different groups, right? So the fact that technology has enabled us to work really from anywhere, and now with post-COVID, the concept of remote work is so acceptable. Companies are going to let employees make those choices. They're going to work abroad. They're going to work in all different scenarios and situations. You know, you're seeing residential developments now that have a co-working component in it. The funny thing is that this isn't brand new. Like I said, I think everything's been accelerated post-COVID. But even prior to COVID, there was really interesting things happening with, like, for example, kitchens, smaller kitchens for food prep companies where they could rent out the kitchen so they didn't have to build out their own kitchens, right? So anytime you're able to provide a specific solution to a lot of different industries, you're going to see people come together and share those resources, right? It's sort of like that shared economy. So it would work for food service. It can work for wellness centers. You know, so you with under one roof, you have several different wellness providers. So it could be industry specific. You know, it could be geared towards a particular group. It could be startups. It could be tech companies. It could be there are spaces now, co-working spaces geared just to hedge funds. Back when I started in the industry, this is, you know, back in the 90s, there were co-working spaces or shared workspaces that were geared just for attorneys. And the reason for that was they had to have a law library, and law libraries were very expensive. And there were actual, when I say library, it was an actual book. It wasn't online resources because online didn't exist back then. So I think whenever you can pull together resources, share the resources, pull people together that have a common interest and they can share their ideas, they can collaborate and grow together, it makes sense. And I love it because to me, it's becoming even more exciting, more interesting. You know, and it's more innovative. And, you know, I think you're going to see co-working operators that are very specific. And I always tell, as far as any advice I give other co-working operators, is know who your audience is and what you're doing, because it's not necessarily so broad. The more you can be specific to, you know your audience and give them what they want, the more successful you'll be.
Great advice. Now, on a personal note, what's the most rewarding aspect of what you do, and what's the most challenging? Because, you know, we all have to deal with challenges.
Yes. Oh, there's nothing challenging about co-working. Just the idea of co in the word and working, when you put those two words together, right? For me, actually, the most challenging and the rewarding aspect of it is the same. And it really comes down to the people. People, when they think of co-working, oftentimes they think real estate, offices, workspace, and it is. But what makes that workspace come alive are the people. And that's really, I think, what differentiates Quest and what makes it most interesting for me. Because if I was just a real estate person, it wouldn't be as much fun as pulling people together and seeing what happens when you put that, you know, you put all those pieces together and then that magic happens. And when I say on the people side, it's everything from, we call our clients Questers. So it's creating that environment for everybody to connect and collaborate, grow together, work well together. When you have a bunch of different personalities and a bunch of different companies and people, and when people say to me, especially our clients, God, I love being here. I love coming to the office. I actually feel like I can make people's jobs better because I can't affect what they do, but I can affect the environment which they're doing it in. So I love that part of it. And that's, I think, sort of the hospitality part of me. The other part of the people, the challenging piece is us recruiting the right people and keeping our teams engaged and passionate and loving what they're doing. And if I don't do that well, then we're not going to have happy clients. So I would say I spend more time on the people part of this than any other part of the company. So at times it's the most challenging. At times it's the most rewarding.
That's awesome. That about wraps it up for us today. But thank you so much for being our guest, Laura. I very much enjoyed hearing your story and also your thoughts on the industry. I'm aware where it's headed. I think I learned a lot. And I know our listeners will too.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.